Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
It might be hard sometimes.
You gotta do it.
But you gotta do it. Discipline, right? Doing what you're supposed to do.
What you're supposed to do, whether you like it or not.
Might be hard sometimes.
But you gotta do it.
Right. Worry.
Is a waste of time.
Brainwashing.
So I'm now adding that. I'm adding that to my self-affirmations every morning, because if Pat can get that going with the kiddos, the locker room is obviously bought into, and it turns out well. So that's good managing.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince is back tomorrow. Adam Roberts in studio. Debbie Lazka's got your roads. Tiff Pua is handling the newsroom today. And Greg Pancake Hill doing everything else. You know, one of the biggest concerns when the Hamas attack on Israel back on October 7th first occurred was, how would this escalate? What could happen next? Where would it go from that vantage point? And obviously, there's been a lot of discussion and arguments and protests and demonstrations since then. Now, though, renewed fears that the Israeli-Hamas war will spark a wider conflict thanks to Hezbollah. So Hezbollah shot a rocket into the northern portion of Israel over the weekend, killing 12 kids. Here's exactly what happened. ABC's Jordana Miller.
Hezbollah, which has been firing on northern Israel for months, including the Golan Heights, where there are some of the most important IDF bases, it appears that a Hezbollah rocket, that they misfired one of these, and it slammed into a soccer field Saturday afternoon where a bunch of children and teenagers were just playing soccer.
Yeah, so 12 children at least were killed, children and or teenagers, and it was a misfire, so it wasn't intended. And now both sides are trying to figure out how to respond to this. Israel clearly upset about it, but at the same time isn't quite sure how to respond. And Hezbollah also says, hey, you know, just a mistake, just an accident. We've been firing rockets, but we understand that you might be upset. And, you know, Lebanon doesn't want any issues here. So where does it go from here, Jordana?
The prime minister cut his trip short in the United States, came back earlier. But at the same time, Israel is not interested in hitting so hard that we will see this escalate into a regional war, a declared war between Israel and Hezbollah. Hezbollah as well has signaled it is not interested in a war.
It's ABC's Jordana Miller. Now, we do have in this hour from the BBC and other outlets that the Security Cabinet for Israel is giving authority to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the defense minister of the nation to decide when and how to retaliate. Yep. They've given them clearance. And of course, Netanyahu just recently in the U.S. speaking to Congress, meeting with President Biden, and Kamala Harris, Donald Trump all seem to be at that point on the same page about how they want to go forward, especially with the hostage releases. But this new wrinkle could potentially throw all that out the window.
And there has been an Israeli strike in southern Lebanon early this morning that was deadly. A couple of people were killed in that attack. But as of now, that's not considered to be Israel's response to what happened over the weekend. It is 7:15, sports in 60 seconds.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All sports desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, it was the Brewers who avoided a sweep at the hands of the Marlins Sunday afternoon. An all-around effort for the crew to take this one. Now, we know Yelich on the 10-day IL, but as one window closes, another door opens because Devin Williams is back from his 60-day IL stint.
Here's the stretch from Devin in the pitch. Struck him out with a fastball. Three straight heaters, wall gone, two away. That was vintage Devin Williams, and that sequenced the wall.
Yeah, good to see Airbender back on the hill. Fastball has a little more velocity, too, as Adam McKelvey pointed out, which is pretty great. All the ingredients to help the Brewers take home the win 6-2 over the Marlins. Now, again, not the best weekend, but what about a pep talk from Coach Pat Murphy?
I just want them to understand how great they are, you know, and how they can bounce back and not to get down on themselves. You know, wash it off. It might be hard sometimes.
You got to do it.
But you got to do it. Discipline, right? Doing what you're supposed to do.
What you're supposed to do, whether you like it or not.
Might be hard sometimes.
But you got to do it.
Right. Worry.
Is it waste of time?
Brainwashing.
So I'm now adding that. I'm adding that to my self-affirmations every morning, because if Pat can get that going with the kiddos, the locker room is obviously bought into, and it turns out well. So that's good managing right there. Next up for the crew, a 3-game set against the Braves here at home.
By the way, we should also point out that trade over the weekend, Nick Mears, the reliever they traded for, we'll get the lowdown on him from Dom coming up.
Good call. More help in the bullpen, something that we can all get behind. Our coverage starts right here on WTMJ at 6 with Brewers warm-up. By the way, Dom Catrone hosting Brewers warm-up this evening. Colin Ray on the hill tonight. On to the gridiron. It's a sigh of relief from Packers fans. Here's what it sounded like. Yeah, Jordan Love locked in for the next 4 years. 4 years, $220 million contract extension brings Love in the green and gold for the foreseeable future. No practice for the Packers today. They resume tomorrow, but Jason Wilde joins us in just about a half hour from now. And finally, an Olympics update. Medal count, USA, 3 golds, to which Eric Bilstead said, that's it?
earlier
this morning, which I love it. I love the like posturizing of like, USA should be winning. And everything. You know, honestly, Simone Biles could win every gold for the rest of her life. She would not be having a better Olympics than Snoop Dogg. Here's Snoop on the highlight call of the badminton match between USA and Canada.
Back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. No, over here. No, over there. What about over there? No, what about there? No, give me that. I need that. That too. No, sit down somewhere. Get out. Get off. Wait a minute. Hold it. Way up in the sky. Now down. Back up. Over there. Now over here. Get out the way. Move. I told you we need that.
That was a good point.
You don't even need the visual. You don't need it.
you know exactly what's
happening, and that's the beauty between a good play-by-play man.
It's so funny watching Tirico while he's putting the jacket on, just having to sit there and basically be mesmerized at the wall. Like, well, I'm being out-coached here a little bit.
Take notes, Mike. Snoop Dogg's in the booth.
You know what? Love me some Snoop. Love all the Brewers stuff. But anyone getting a little Snoop fatigue?
Oh, he's owning it. This is it. For the next 14 odd days, it's going to be Snoop Dogg at the Olympics. I can't wait.
The week ahead is next.
Happy Monday!
It's time to look at the week ahead.
What a Monday morning.
What's happening this week in Southeast Wisconsin and across the world? What's going to be in your timeline, your news feed, on the televisions, online, or on the radio right here at WTMJ? We'll start in Austin, Texas, Adam. President Biden heads to Austin today to commemorate the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. He's going to visit the LBJ Presidential Library. LBJ is the one that signed that into law 60 years ago. The president also making news, announcing today some changes that he is proposing to the Supreme Court. He wants term limits. So you hear much more about term limits for the Supreme Court throughout the day today. Iowa's strict abortion law goes into effect, preventing most abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy, or before many women would even know they are pregnant. It passed last year, but it's been going through the courts. On Tuesday, the Senate Judiciary and Homeland and Government Affairs Committee is going to hold a joint hearing on the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump from earlier this month. So on the stand, if you will, FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate and the acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe.
And I wonder what role the recent news that we just heard about the SWAT team not being informed until after the shooting, how much that will come up during the trial.
Local SWAT team tells ABC's Good Morning America that, they didn't even talk to the Secret Service until after the shooting occurred, which just seems a little odd. The House also voted last week to create a bipartisan task force to investigate that shooting. A decision could come Tuesday on who will be the next police chief of Austin, Texas. Why does this matter to you? Because one of the finalists is Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman.
And he seems like, just reading between the lines, the other candidate is an assistant chief from Cincinnati. So in terms of apples to apples, it would seem to be a pretty smooth transition.
Major League Baseball's trade deadline Tuesday at 5 p.m. Bud Selig turns turns 90 years old tomorrow. 90 years young for Bud. On Wednesday, Cream Puffapalooza.
Oh, boy.
WTMJ's very own Cream Puffapalooza. So they'll be, we have someone out there, right? Is it Sandy? Who's out there? Sandy, Max, Greg, is that right? Sorry to just put you on the spot. But yes, we do have, we'll have people out there helping give away the cream puffs. And of course, the State Fair kicks off on Thursday.
That's hand in hand, a big opportunity for everyone to go out, take in the latest foods. Of course, the Sporkies, keeping an eye on. I think Debbie and I are planning on tackling some of those this year.
Nice.
A little bit of an upgrade from eating bugs like I did last year.
Okay, so no bugs, but other things on a stick.
Yep. Okay. If you can put it on a stick and it's not a creepy crawly, I'll probably have it this year.
Also on Thursday, everyone's talking Sandhill Cranes. The talk of a legislative study committee. They're going to actually meet at the Horicon Marsh and hold it in the visitor center there. I've been there, actually.
Me as well.
It's nice. They want to talk about the population of these birds and whether or not they need to cull the herd, if you will, at times, because they can cause some issues. We have them walk through our yard. It's kind of nice.
It's crazy to think. I remember growing up how they were on the verge of maybe not being extinct, but almost. And now we're reaching the point where we got to bring them back a little bit. It's pretty crazy.
The voting process to officially name Vice President Kamala Harris as the presidential nominee for the Democrats will begin Thursday. Also, if you need a break from Olympics, we have football on Thursday night.
Football.
Texans, Bears. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame game Thursday night on ESPN or ABC. At the movies.
I can't get away. I can't stop. I'll just do this one last one.
Enjoy the rest of the concert.
Yeah, Trap. This is an M. Night Shyamalan feature. So basically, Josh Hartnett plays a dad who's at like a Britney Spears or a Taylor Swift-like concert with his daughter, and cops surround the place, and we find out that Josh Hartnett is a serial killer trying to get out of there. So it's got a lot of twists and turns. Trap opens on Friday. That is the week ahead. The Brewers make a trade over the weekend. We break it down with Dom Catronio and Brewers 360 at 7:45.
The Summer Olympics roll on in France, and once again, the nation dealing with acts by saboteurs, it appears. Of course, it was first the trains last Friday, and now IT systems appear to be the target of vandalism around the French nation.
According to the French government, multiple telecommunications links have been hit, affecting fiber and fixed and mobile phone lines around the country. A police official says at least a half dozen of France's administrative departments have been affected, including the region around the Mediterranean city of Marseille, hosting Olympic soccer and sailing competitions. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Now, Eric, we had ABC's Inés de la Cotera earlier this morning, and her reporting at around 6:20 our time was that it still remains unclear just what the wide-ranging impact of this will be. Of course, the train incidents, the arson attacks, were hours before the opening ceremonies were supposed to be had on Friday for the Olympics. And now appears as though, at least at the moment, we're analyzing how big of an impact this could have.
And what it is, exactly. What is this vandalism being done for? What's the motivation? Is it just to disrupt and cause chaos, or is it something else? Just seems, this is odd. Now, we've had this twice now, but there was an arrest in the train situation.
Correct. Yeah, I believe ABC was reporting it was an ultra activist arrested over the weekend at a rail company site.
7:38. This portion of the show is sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk, heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WDTMJ. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Bryant's was selected as one of USA Today's Bars of the Year for its reputation as one of the oldest cocktail lounges in Milwaukee and its unique menu-less ordering system. All of that is true. I'm happy for Bryant's. It's fine. Just I was just saying, you know, there are a lot of different dives and a lot of different high-end cocktail places you could pick. And
I'd almost rather see a USA Today article about just the top 10 in our city alone. Because like Debbie, you said earlier, you could choose from just about any of them and it could be a top five just for our city that goes nationwide. I mean, there's so many just sleeper picks. Like I mentioned Foundation, one of the best tiki bars I've ever been to in my life. And it's just nestled right off of Center and Fratney.
It's one of the many. So anyway, congratulations to Brian. Happy for Brian's. Hey, one of the stories you're going to hear a lot about today, President Biden just wrote an op-ed that's in the Washington Post this morning. He's proposing three significant reforms of the U.S. Supreme Court. He's calling for these reforms that would include 18-year term limits for the justices, and a binding code of conduct and ethics rules. So he wants more conduct rules for the justices and also wants them done after 18 years. It feels like this would be more appropriate. He's also pushing for a constitutional amendment to strip presidents of immunity from prosecution. He writes that, quote, this nation was founded on a simple yet profound principle. No one is above the law. And you can expect that he will speak on this when he is in Austin, Texas today. He's going to be at the LBJ Presidential Library today. So no doubt this will come up. We'll see if anything would come of it. But those proposals are now being pushed by the president. Much more detail coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll chat with Thane Rosenbaum. He's one of our legal analysts from CBS. I have a lot of questions for him about this and what remotely is even possible for term limits. You know, there's been a lot of talk about term limits, about age limits for lawmakers and whatnot. So we'll get into that coming up after the 8 o'clock news. 744 Brewers 360 with Dom Catronio. Got to ask him a lot of questions about some of the trades that were made. We'll get it from Dom next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Devin Williams returns as the Brewers avoid the sweep. 6-2 the win over the Marlins. Up next, the Braves tonight right here on WTMJ. Brewers 360, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Joining us on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline is host of Brewers Extra Innings, also doing Brewers warm-up for us tonight.
Busy man.
Dom Catronio. Hello, Dom.
Hello, guys. How we doing?
Hey, got to give you props. I know that Nick Mears, the reliever from the Colorado Rockies, who is now a Milwaukee Brewer, he was on your radar for a potential trade target. You got him. What makes this guy so great?
I got lucky, man. So the comparison I made on Friday when they made the move, or Saturday when they made the move, was, hey, I know some folks may see a 5.5 ERA and be like, psh, come on, why are you so excited about this guy? Well, Jeff Passan, ESPN reporter, put it perfectly when he shared the news. Hey, this may seem like a weird move, but he has a very bloody Baseball Savant page. What we mean by that is Baseball Savant's kind of the advanced stat website that all of us use here in baseball. And when it's red, there's a bunch of sliders that tell you if you're in a higher percentile of all these advanced stats, the darker red it gets. And he called it bloody because it's so red of how elite his stuff is. The problem is he plays for the Colorado Rockies. He's pitching at altitude. It's hard to pitch at altitude. So his stuff should perform better here. He also revealed to us in the media yesterday he had been tipping his pitches in the first half and didn't know it. It was a friend of a friend that let him know that he was kind of showing what he was throwing before he actually threw it. So no one in the organization had caught it, and that's part of the reason why it's such an inflated ERA early in the year.
But you definitely caught. I saw you got retweeted by Flamin' Hot Takes. That's got to be a nice tip of the cap to you for calling this one out early.
I mean, sometimes you get it right. You throw enough things at a wall, you get one. I talked
Blind
to Matt
squirrel.
Arnold actually. I talked to Matt Arnold about it actually yesterday before the Ryan Braun ceremony. I was like, thanks for making me look smart. He's like, no, you're doing the good work for us, making us look smart, but given you're on something like that. So it was a really cool weekend.
So what do we think? Deadline is tomorrow afternoon-ish, like 5 p.m. tomorrow. Are we done, you think?
I don't think they're done. I know. You know, talking to Matt, talking to some other people around the industry, the price right now for starting pitching is still ridiculous. And basically, everyone is sort of anticipating this being a wacky up to the midnight oil kind of trade deadline, right up to 5 o'clock. Now, we can hear moves that happen after that. Just the official paperwork has to be sent into the league office by that time. So I could still see the Brewers adding a rental starting pitcher. I don't think they're going to get a bat. I just don't see room on the roster, nor is there enough out there to grab.
Did anyone else in the division do anything, like the Cardinals or the Cubs or anybody?
The Cubs made a move yesterday that was very interesting. They traded Christopher Morel, their third baseman who swings hard. He was their leading home run hitter, to the Rays for Isak Paredes, who's a good hitter, don't get me wrong. But the Cubs also sent two prospects over to the Rays. And the joke in baseball is like, before you even hear the details, it's like, the Rays made a trade. Oh, I love this trade for the Rays. Who did they get? It's just, the Rays always win these things, and time will tell. But Isak Paredes has multiple years of control, but the Cubs sent three players to Tampa. So everyone's like, wait, Why would you do that? But otherwise, you're right. The Pirates haven't done anything to help their offense. The Cardinals haven't done anything to help their bullpen or their starting rotation or their offense. It's going to kind of hold with bated breath these next 48 hours or so.
Hey, Dom, real quick before we let you go, Ryan Braun, of course, memorialized into the Brewers Walk of Fame over the weekend. One of my favorite quotes was from former GM Doug Melvin, who said, it's paraphrasing, but essentially he'll sometimes on the evenings just put out a whiskey, put on Braun's YouTube highlights, and quote, "I'm drunk at the end of the night." Is that a good way to spend a weekend, is just having a few whiskeys and watching Braun highlights?
There's so much to go through, right? Doug Melvin was great. Known Doug a very long time. I also loved the line. It was a story told, I believe, by Billy Hall. And Billy told the story that when Ryan Braun arrived for his like signing day, you know, when he was drafted and you do all the pomp and circumstance and you get to go hit batting practice on the field with the guys, he goes up to Carlos Lee. Carlos Lee in 2005 is like, "Don't worry, buddy. You're going to have protection in this lineup pretty soon." And little did we know, 2 years later, Rookie of the Year shows up.
Dom Catronio, he'll be on at 6 o'clock tonight before the Brewers game. Thanks, Dom.
Thank you, guys.
7:50. Mark Tauscher, sponsored by Kohler Services. Mark has been on vacation. Jason Wilde from ESPN Wisconsin joins us. Well, we knew it all along, right, Jason? We knew it all along that Jordan Love was going to eventually sign this deal. I'm curious, though, is there anything that sticks out to you when you look at this four-year extension? Anything there that either raises your eyebrows or you think helps the team or helps Love, et cetera?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really interesting aspects, Eric, including the interesting aspect that a few days of me filling in for Tausch was enough to break Vinny and he couldn't take it anymore.
He's
and
gone.
He had to take a day off from me. So I don't blame him for that. So what's interesting here, and we talked about this last week, the guaranteed money is so critical to how we view this. So $220 million overall, but $155 million guaranteed, which is less than Tua Tagovailoa got from the Miami Dolphins. It's less than a bunch of other quarterbacks whose average is not as high as the Packers gave Jordan Love. $55 million ties him with Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence for the highest per year average salary. But that's not really the number. I know that that allows the agent to take a victory lap.
Yeah.
Hey, my guy's the highest paid in the league. But he did not get nearly as much guaranteed money. In fact, only Trevor Lawrence had less of all these quarterbacks that got deals. But here's the interesting thing. They gave him a $75 million guaranteed signing bonus. And that is the biggest lump sum signing bonus ever given out in the NFL. So my gut tells me that was the compromise. The agency wants to be able to take a victory lap on some things. They get that. Jordan gets his deal done. He doesn't get as much guaranteed, but he gets a high average. And apparently everybody's happy and ready to get to work.
So then he'll get to re-up, well, when he's 29 years old, so he gets another kick at perhaps another record-breaking contract in a few years?
Yeah, and again, it'll happen, I think, before that.
Right.
Because if he is as good as they think he is and want him to be, they'll want to keep him. And, you know, Rodgers never got to the last year of his contract. And the Packers, let's be honest, they don't want Jordan Love to get to the last year of this contract. He has a $75 million cap number in the final year of his deal. That is a very big number. They do not want to have to carry that.
ESPN Wisconsin's Jason Wilde with us on Wisconsin's Morning News. All right, Jason, so now that this has been taken care of, it's time to look ahead to the X's and O's for Jordan as he should be back on the field for training camp. As someone who's analyzed quarterbacks for quite a long time, and we've had quite a few big ones here the last 30 years, what are you watching for as we now head into Jordan Love's 2024 campaign?
Yeah, so he's practiced each of the last 2 days, and as Matt LaFleur admitted, there's been times when he looked rusty. Now, when he was here for those 4 days where he wasn't practicing but he was watching, when he would get done, he would go inside the Don Hutson Center and throw to Tucker Kraft, who's not practicing yet because of the torn pec, threw to Jaden Reed for a few days when Jaden Reed wasn't practicing, and he threw to some equipment guys. So it changes a little bit when you're out there and you're not throwing to the guy that's also like moving the goalpost
right.
for the kicking period. But he has shown some rust, and I thought Matt LaFleur made a really good point, which is everybody needs practice. Even if you're one of the rising quarterback stars in the NFL, if you miss practice, you're not going to be as sharp. And so he had an unbelievable throw, a 47-yard deep ball completion to Christian Watson the first day he practiced. But then yesterday he threw a pick six. So it's going to be a process. I don't think anybody's worried about him not being the good quarterback, very good quarterback he was during the second half of last season. But there's going to be some ups and downs after you miss the first 5 days and four practices of camp.
And Vince will lose his mind when he hears about that.
Of course. So.
Jason, thank you, sir.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde filling in for Mark Tauscher and doing an amazing job.
Absolutely.
7:57.